Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Well, welcome, Bethel. It is good to be back again. Again, I'm going to attempt to preach on a topic I've never preached on or taught on before, like I did a couple of weeks ago when I talked about weakness. In fact, I had never even studied the subject of weakness until a few weeks ago. And I have had discussions with people and I've had discussions with God and other ministers and theologians over the past 2 years on the topic I'm going to attempt to preach on today, but have never studied it myself. I'm sure the Holy Spirit was trying to lead me to, but I guess just wasn't listening. But over the last several weeks, God has had my attention fully. Those that haven't been around, 7 weeks ago, I had a back injury, and I wish I had an epic story of how it happened, but I was just being a water boy. I was just a water boy carrying a couple of 5-gallon jugs of alkalized water into my house and bent over, twisted, and tweaked my back. A week later, entered into personally the most painful physical suffering of my life, and then led into an emergency back surgery, and now just over 4 weeks from that, hallelujah, I was able to walk across the stage. So they had a fantastic surgeon and team, and they are thrilled. They are like, wow, you're ahead of schedule. I feel like I'm behind schedule, my schedule, but God has his timing and his plan for everything, even takes the things the enemy means for harm, and he turns it around for good. Yes. Amen? Yes. So today I will attempt to preach again, like I said, on a topic I've not preached on before, and that topic is lamenting. Lamenting. I'm going to talk about lamenting. I feel like a total rookie that was thrown into the professional leagues. I'm getting trampled on in the process. But I believe, in fact, I know, for me to accomplish all that God has for me yet to accomplish, and for this church to accomplish all that God has for us to accomplish, we must learn this spiritual weapon of lament. So I don't come to you with, I've been going to the gym for 3 weeks, and all of you should be going to the gym now. Okay, right? So I come to you with humility. To teach on something that I'm just beginning to understand, but I think is necessary as next week on Easter we begin a new series God gave me when I was lying on my back before the surgery, called Forward. Because God is calling us, church, to go forward. He always calls us forward, not backwards, but forward. We know in Hebrews it says that we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those that go forward, that move forward. Jesus, from the garden, went forward to the cross. And went forward to the cross, but not before lamenting himself. you go, man, pastor, that's just something I just don't really care for, that lament thing. I get you. I was there. But if you're going to accomplish your destiny, you're going to have to embrace this spiritual weapon. The devil certainly does not want the church to know how to lament. Today, again, I'll attempt to do my best to explain what lamenting is and what it's not, the why behind lamenting, the purpose, and then the power of lamenting, and then how to do it. Okay? So if you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 22, and you might go, man, what's with this whole lament in the garden? That's not until, like, you know, Thursday. Well, lamenting was actually on Palm Sunday. As Jesus was riding in to Jerusalem, as they were celebrating and praising him, it says that Jesus lamented. He wept over the city and what was to come of Jerusalem. Jesus was a lamenter. And if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to lament. Again, I come to you as someone who has not practiced lamenting, didn't really even understand it. In fact, the Psalms are theologians say the Psalms are two-thirds lament. Two-thirds of them are lamenting. There's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations, okay? I've tried to avoid that book for sure. And in the psalm, I just speed up and get past what I thought, you know, David in his whining and complaining. I just kind of, let's speed up and get past to the good stuff. And yet, psalm is a praise. A lament is a praise if it's done right. And it's a weapon that you must pick up, that we must pick up, church, if we're going to accomplish all that God's called us to. So, help me, Lord. Luke chapter 22, that's where we'll begin. Jesus in the garden, the Mount of Olives. Luke 22, verse 39. Jesus went out as usual into the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him, and on reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for your amazing love. You care. You care about us. You care about our pain. You care about our suffering. You care about our needs. And you proved it 2,000 years ago, sending your son Jesus to rescue us and to provide everything that we need for this life and the life to come. Jesus, thank you for not giving in to temptation, for showing us the way. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears today. If someone doesn't know Jesus as their loving Savior and Lord, I pray that today they'd come to know him. Holy Spirit, help us learn what we need to learn today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I've entitled this message, with the help of Pastor Preston, "Uncried Tears." uncried tears. Now, man, before you check out, if you want to think of crying as your eyeballs are perspiring,
yes,
or sweating, then go ahead, but don't check out, please. Uncried tears. Imagine teardrops left uncried from the pain and suffering that are trapped inside of you. Church, I had no idea until the Lord revealed it to me why I cried for 3 weeks, a week before surgery and 2 weeks after, why I cried so much. I had no idea. It was way beyond what I was going through in the trial and the pain. It wasn't about the pain, even though it definitely brought sweaty eyeballs to my eyes many times. But I wept. I cried like rivers. I may have a wrinkle. I may need some Botox right here. Like, as I'm on my back, just rivers flowing out of me. And the Lord revealed to me that I had stored up a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of grief. And it was your grief. It was your pain. It was your suffering. You're responsible for all of it, church. I'm not blaming you. No. But there's some truth to it. God has called us to be ministers. All of us, not just pastors. We're all called to minister. How did Jesus minister? He became us. He walked with us, amongst us. He had empathy and compassion for us. You're not going to be the minister you're called to be. You cannot be the pastor you're called to be if you don't come alongside and walk with people and feel their pain. Mourn with those who mourn. Feel the loss. Feel the difficulty. You can't minister from afar if you're going to minister like Jesus. For God came near. And so I boast in the Lord that I think that pretty well over the last 15 years here at Bethel. I've walked with you. I've cried with you. I've embraced your pain as my own. I'm not Jesus, okay? I'm not perfect in it. But this is how we, Bethel, are the house of God. We're all about relationship. If you're going to have real relationship, you're going to have to lament. If you're going to draw close to God and others, you're going to have to lament in your life, sometimes with others. But there's moments as well that you were walking with others who are lamenting or mourning or suffering, and you have to be strong. You have to be strong in that moment. It's not time for you to bawl your eyes out. It's not time for you to give in to your emotions. It's not time to lament. It's not time to weep. Just like Jesus, when he found out that John the Baptist had been beheaded, he was going off to pray, I believe, to lament, to mourn. And yet what happened? He was confronted with a large crowd that needed him. And in that moment, that wasn't the moment for him to mourn or lament. It was the moment for him to remain strong and minister to those that were hurting and in pain. But after he was done ministering, what did he do? Like he regularly did. Even in this passage we see, he went out as usual to the garden, to the Mount of Olives. He went out as usual to pray. And after that prayer time, that garden moment, he comes and he walks on water. If we're going to walk in all of the power that God has for us, we're going to have to know all of the weapons that he has for us. If we're going to soar in this life, church, and we're going to run and not grow weary, we are going to have to shed the weight that only lamenting will shed. Some of you are grounded. You can't get off the ground. You can't run like God wants you to run, because you will not lament. You will not shed that weight. I know where God has called me to go this year and this church to go this year. The Lord in his mercy is using this situation for his good. And he's shedding weight. He's shedding things that are hindering, that would have hindered me from running as hard and fast and strong as he's called us to. He's called me to be robust to the level that God has called me to be and this church to be. I needed to shed some weight. And for me, the greatest thing to this moment through this process, other than experiencing the incredible love of my wife, my kids, all of you, my friends around the world, the closeness with God, is I'm shedding weight. I'm shedding weight. Come on, look at this. I mean, that's just a nice perk and a little byproduct. But I'm shedding weight in my soul and my life so that I can soar to the levels that God's called me to. Because I can't go to where he wants to take me this year and beyond with this weight. Oh, I wish I could have learned this a different way. But apparently I couldn't. But you can. You could embrace this today. Don't learn it the way I had to learn it. Learn the revelation by the grace of God and do it. Lament. It's a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. What's the difference between lamenting and complaining? I think this is really important. I don't know that I'm going to give you a great definition. I think it's pretty good. It's helping me right now because I sped through the Psalms. I jumped over Lamentations because I thought lamenting and complaining were the same thing. And I wanted nothing to do with complaining because I saw what complaining got the children of Israel. Right? They're not the same. Even though they can be confused, and even though you can judge somebody's lamenting and think they're complaining, and sometimes they are, but don't judge. Don't go there. Just let them do whatever they're doing. If it's complaining or lamenting, don't judge it. But how can you know if you're lamenting or complaining? Because Philippians 2:14 tells us, do everything without complaining and arguing. Everything. So if we're called to do everything without complaining, then lamenting cannot be the same. I mean, again, 2/3 of the Psalms are laments. See, a complaint has to do with expressing displeasure in someone or something. A lament is a prayer to God. A complaint is a gripe, pointing out a fault, in our estimation, an expression of anger or concern. A lament is releasing an emotion of mourning that is heard beyond human ears. Again, even with that, you go, oh, that's good, but am I complaining or lamenting right now? How can I know? Because many times they sound the same. And the best way that I found is in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. I think a complaint comes from a heart of pride, where a lament comes from a heart of humility. That's how I think you can tell the difference. Is this coming out of humility, or is this coming out of pride? See, now it can be a little bit confusing in the Psalms in the Old Testament, because a lot of the complaint was, God, I'm doing all the right things. I'm your guy. I'm your girl. And these enemies are unjustly treating me. This is so wrong. And I'm doing the right things. You said, if I live this way, these are the blessings. If I live this way, these are the curses. This isn't fair. That's true. And there is some truth to that. You go, they're lamenting in, God, I don't deserve what I'm going through. Right? What I think changes in the Old Testament is this. What we get because of the gospel is a result of grace and mercy, and we don't deserve any of it. And as Christians, we are called to drink the cup of suffering. And we really only get full credit for the suffering when we haven't brought it upon ourselves. See, if you don't drink the cup, you don't get the crown. No cup, no crown. The crown that God has for you and I involves suffering. You must embrace it, but our suffering has a purpose. If we let it teach us, train us, equip us, mature us. Pride versus humility. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. You see this? Verse 6, humble yourselves. Humble yourselves, then cast your cares, your problems, your anxiety, your situation. Humble yourself first. Humble. Come with a humble heart, not a prideful heart, not an entitled heart. A humble heart. This can assure you that you are not complaining or arguing or murmuring, but you are lamenting. And that lament has power, supernatural power. Let me tell you just two quick stories that I look back and I go, oh man, I have lamented a few times in my life. And the results are supernatural. One time I was preparing for a mission trip to Chicago, the inner city of Chicago. I mean, that alone, to be willing to go to Chicago. I'm a Detroit guy, right? I mean, you guys have heard of 8 Mile, right? Well, I lived on 9 Mile, okay? I mean, it was the Chicago Bulls time. I mean, there was hatred, Pistons. I mean, Chicago, God, it's like Nineveh. God, you're calling me to Chicago? Anywhere but Chicago. All right, I'll go. Before the trip, my pastor said, hey, man, everybody needs to pray. Pray for the trip. Pray for... And so I found a place. I found a time and a place. The time was every evening, and the place was my basement. Church, let me encourage you. Do you have a garden? Do you have a time? Do you have a place that you go regularly?
That's good.
You want Jesus results? You got to do what Jesus did. Jesus had a garden. As usual, he went. He had a prayer time regularly. He was getting away, because you'll never change the crowd if you're always with the crowd, church. Do you have a garden? Do you have a place? Do you have a time? Is there a space? Do you make space in your life? Maybe a room. Maybe a hiking place. I don't know. I'm trying to encourage you. Get a place. Get a time. And then bring lamenting into that time if you haven't in the past, because it's a weapon. It's powerful. And so here I am praying for this trip, weeks before the trip, and I found myself praying that God would win people to Jesus. He'd prepare hearts and there'd be divine appointments. And then all of a sudden, Pastor Steve, there I was on my knee on the cold basement floor in Michigan, okay? I begin to weep. I began to weep uncontrollably. Weep, not just cry, I'm weeping. Like it's a mess. Like it's messy weep, groans and weeping. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm weeping for people I've never even met. I don't even know who they are. I haven't even seen their picture. And I'm crying. I didn't know it at the time until this past week. The Lord says, you were lamenting for their souls, for their lives. To this date, there has not been a more fruitful mission trip I've been on where I've personally led people to Jesus. I'm not talking about large crowds where I've preached and hundreds and thousands have gotten saved. I'm talking about the very first encounter, four Marines in Chicago playing beach volleyball. I walk up to them. I'm waiting. And when they're done, I say, hey guys, you have some time. Can I talk to you? I begin to talk to them, engage with them, start sharing the gospel with them. Our whole team, they're in the vans waiting for me. And we're in the sand holding hands. These are Marines, all tatted up. We're in the sand on our knees there accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior, over and over and over again. Then we're in a nursing home, and we're ministering, and I'm sitting next to a 90-plus-year-old woman in a wheelchair, and I'm talking to her, and our team's doing drama and music, and I'm trying to fight back the tears, because I'm like, I need to talk to her afterwards, because I want to make, you know, give her an opportunity to accept Jesus. So I'm biting my tongue. I'm just trying to not lose it. And I hold it together. That wasn't the time to lament. But I felt all of this emotion. And then I begin to share the gospel with her. 90-plus-year-old woman. She'd never heard the gospel. She prays with me to accept Jesus. And after she's done, she goes, Mike, would you pray with me to pray for my kids? Because they don't know Jesus. And over again, we had these little cards that we put the names of the people who got saved. Over 100 people God allowed me to pray with. Over 100 people over 4 days. 100 people. Church, lamenting is powerful. It's a weapon. It's a cry, God, don't let people perish. Yeah. While I'm laying on my back, as God has called us, church, against this evil of human sex trafficking. There I was. There was a moment I was in amazing amount of pain. I'm crying out to God, and suddenly I'm just like, there are people enslaved all over the world. They're caught. They are suffering. This darkness, they're being abused. And I just began to weep for them. And for just a fraction of feeling their pain, feeling the loneliness, feeling the evil. I began to lament. Man, I stand here and wonder, Lord, in your grace and your mercy, you've used me for the past 50 years. I mean, and I didn't have this weapon. I didn't really know this weapon. And yet you still moved. Oh, watch out, gates of hell. Watch out, marriages. Watch out, prodigals. Watch out, addiction. Watch out, sickness. Watch out. Because all of heaven's resources and weapons will be released, and the power of the lament is coming after you, devil. At least 15 years, probably more, of suffering and mourning and things that I hadn't lamented, I hadn't released, were flowing out of me. It's flowing out of me. You were not made to carry this weight. That burden, that yoke. He wants to free you. He wants to release you. See, Hebrews chapter 12 says there's a race. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 says, since we are surrounded by so many examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that distracts. We must run the race that lies ahead of us and never give up. We must focus on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured the death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Now he holds the honored position, the one next to God the Father on the heavenly throne. Think about Jesus, who endured opposition from sinners so that you don't become tired and give up. Get rid of everything that slows you down. And then it says, especially sin. I don't think that which you are carrying, the mourning, the pain, the suffering, is sin. Unless God tells you to let it go and you don't, then it becomes sin. I didn't know. I just didn't know. Now you might say, well, he was trying to show you and you ignored him. Maybe. But I didn't know I had all of this in here. I didn't know it. But it will hold you back. It'll hold me back. It'll hold us back. It will hinder us from getting to the levels and the places God wants us to go. You must let it go. You must let it go. You must lament. You must learn. You must. I'm inviting you on the journey. Maybe you're way ahead of me, and I'm on your heels, baby. I'm coming after you, okay? Because I have experienced the power of it. I have been enlightened to what it can do. Another story the Lord reminded me of. My wife and I, we are living in Scottsdale. This is about 17, 18 years ago. And I'm at a John Maxwell, a special private meeting with him. And he was running late, and I had no cell service in this building. It was at the Princess Resort, May, one of your favorite. Okay, it's at the Princess Resort. And I should have gone outside, you know, and called her. She knew where I was, right? I'm here becoming a better man, a better husband, a better father. I step out and all of a sudden, like 50 emails, texts, like, where are you? I'm calling the police. Da, da, da. So I'm like, I call her and I'm like, oh, babe, I'm sorry. Man, she is like maybe lamenting, but it felt like complaining. About why would you do this to me? How would you do this? Why, right? And I'm like, oh, and I had the grace of God. I go, babe, I'm going to be home really soon. I'm so, I'm kind of sorry, but I'm. So I have about 12 minutes left till I get home, and I realize now I started lamenting. God, you gave me this woman. What's up? And then the Holy Spirit just began to move. But I was. It was genuine. There was a genuine lament. Church, I know. I mean, you need to lament. Even over your spouse. Now find a place they don't hear you lamenting about them, okay? Soundproof place, okay? But if you don't lament, you will give in to temptation. I don't know who said this. I said it in first service, so I'll say like I said it in first service. I would like to give credit to who wrote it, but since I don't, I'll just credit myself. So like I said in first service, laments turn toward God when sorrow tempts you to run from Him. Laments turn you toward God when sorrow tempts you to run from Him. So much of your sin problem, I believe, is a pain, a sorrow, a hurt that you've never lamented. And so you're searching for relief. See, the world, we tell them they have a sin problem. They think of their sin as a relief solution. They don't see sin as a problem. They see it as their solution to their pain. Right? But when we don't lament and we don't process that with God, we will cave. Because that sorrow and that pain is too much. Or you will medicate with the things of this world which are sin. Or your motivation to work and to build. You know how many Super Bowl champions are champions today because they wouldn't process lamenting? You go, well, that's awesome. No, but it could be more awesome. Their motivation didn't have to be the pain. Didn't have to be the lack of a father. It could have been love. There's a greater power than your pain. It's called Jesus. Amen. Yes. Yes. So So very quickly, how do we practice lamenting? That was my introduction, and here's my message. Psalm 13, I think, models it. And I have it broke down into three parts. Some psalms are harder to find. What's he doing at what point? Because sometimes he goes in and out of all three of these principles. But I think a good godly lament has these three principles. And I'm going to share them really quickly after I read this psalm, because it's easy to see it. You can go back to it. I encourage you. Psalm 13 says, "How long, Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Day after day, have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." Verse 5. "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." The first part of a lament is state your problem. State your problem. Verse 1 and 2. David is stating his problem. He's not blaming God. He's stating his problem with compassion, with feeling, with tears, with sweat, whatever you need. There is energy, there is power to what you're going through in life. You've got to express that. I go, but you're not comfortable with that. Men, I know you're scared of your emotions, and you're scared especially of your wife's emotions. But you'll be able to embrace, you'll be able to endure your wives or females if you'll get in touch with yours. Again, I'm preaching to you with one who has had a plank in his own eye. That which you do not become vulnerable with in your life does not belong to anything. We all long to belong, church. We are created with that need. We want to belong. We want to belong. God wants you to belong. But you only belong to God to the level in which you're vulnerable with God, to where you'll let him go. You will only belong to this church and this spiritual family to the level in which you're willing to be vulnerable. That which you're not vulnerable with does not actually belong. And what I have found, that which you're not vulnerable with to bring to the light, is that which the devil will use over and over and over again. State your problem. State your problem. State it. State it. Next, make a plea. Make a plea. Verse 3 and 4 makes a plea, doesn't it? Make a plea to God. God, help me. Oh, I tell you, I'm laying and I am crying out many times, God, help me. Have mercy on me. Number 3, verse 5 and 6, praise. How do you make a lament and not a complaint? You state the problem. You don't bring accusation of your problem. You don't bring excuses to your problem. You just state the problem. Then you make your plea. What do you want? Remember when Jesus, I think it was a blind man, said, "What do you want?" Or it was a cripple, I'm not sure. He asked him, "What do you want?" This is the part of the lament of what do you want? Don't just sit there in your problem. What do you want to come of your problem? What is it that you want? Well, but Pastor, if I make this plea, he may not meet my expectation. And he might not. He might not. There's a risk to making a plea. You could get let down again. Could you imagine the father of our faith, Abraham? How many times he state the problem before God? How many times did he make a plea? 99 years old. God, I don't have a son. You promised me a son. It's painful every month to go, we're not pregnant again. Sarah, my womb is dead. God, this is my problem. This is my plea. You said I'd be the father of many nations. This is my plea. I want to have children. This is my plea, God. And then you praise him. You praise him because that, we know, Bethel, is another weapon that we use, our praise. As I close, Romans 8, 38 and 39. After all the incredible instruction and promises, God works all things out for good for those who love him. Those verses, right, we love and they're amazing. This is how it ends. It says, for I am convinced, Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come on! I'm just beginning to know how to use this weapon. Church, I invite you. Take hold of it. Your breakthrough, your freedom, others' freedom, others' breakthrough, your great marriage. You feel like, man, our marriage, we can't get off the ground because you haven't lamented the disappointments, the unmet expectations. You're grounded. You are grounded and cannot soar in your marriage because of the weight of disappointment and grief that you haven't lamented. State the problem. Request your plea and then praise him. Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you for this weapon. Lord, I come against every spirit of fear that says you don't want to go there. You don't want to open that door. It's too painful. It's too hard. I come against you, spirit of fear. I bind you. I rebuke you. Loose God's children. Holy Spirit, if you're here today, you say you want to be free of the grief. You want to release the uncried tears. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and you be brave enough, fearless enough to say, God, I will lament. Would you lift up your hands? Look at the army. Look at the army. Don't be afraid, church. We need you to lament with us. God, you see the hands. And you see the ones that maybe aren't ready yet, God. You didn't give up on me. You won't give up on them. Church, would you pray this prayer with me? Say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to lament. I want to embrace the cup that you have, the cup of suffering. And I want to bring you glory as I do it. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.